Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I'd like to start with a familiar scripture in Matthew 11. And 28 of Matthew says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." The Lord gives a wide open invitation here to us. And my message this morning is to encourage us to take advantage of the special privilege that we have to have the understanding of what God is and what God can do in our lives. We aren't ignorant of many generations past or people past. We have a full understanding that God works in our lives, that we've had the privilege from our vantage point here in this congregation to have seen God keep promises over and over. We've seen the answer of prayer from physical healings to financial blessings to getting jobs to taking care of emotional needs, family needs. We've had the privilege of seeing all of these things, and there is an invitation that is wide open here. It doesn't say who, gender, skin color, nationality. It does say to those that are, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I wonder why he didn't just say, "Just everybody come." Well, it's generally because if you're not in the category of laboring and being heavy laden, you probably won't come. The idea is that if you have any kind of place and need in your life, any kind of a need for something that's bigger than yourself, I think we'll all run into that before long, that we don't know what to do. The world is presenting so much situations to us that is bigger than we are. What are we gonna do with it? How are we gonna keep our peace with it? How are we gonna have the hope for tomorrow? How are we gonna do all those things? Well, the Lord just simply says, "Come unto me with all your burdens, your cares, everything that you think about and wonder about, and the things that you need in life." You don't have to go through life believing that we're just all thrown out on the sea of chance, and whatever happens to our life will happen, and there's no coordination or no leadership of anything. It's not true. God is in control of everything, and we live in a particular time here now. We're at what they call the information age, and surely we've seen the things of God and have the privilege of Bibles everywhere and read the Word of God, and you can get on the internet and Google this stuff if you want to and find out what words mean and different things. We're in an enlightened age, and yet with all of that, it doesn't mean that we do what it says. So I want to encourage us that we do what it says. Come unto me, open invitation to us. You come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I get this idea in my mind anyway when I think of this passage of Scripture. I don't think of it necessarily as just one yoke that the Lord's saying, "This is my yoke, you take it on. This is what you'll have to pull, the load," or whatever like that. I think of it as a double yoke is what I think of it. I think of it as the Lord in one side of it. And inviting us to be a part of what he's pulling, of what he's of the divine mind of God and what God wants to be accomplished and what God wants to be done. It'll be the most fulfilling place that a human can find. The Lord offers to everybody, and no matter what their situation, this is a message even though people don't listen to it. But this is the message of the gospel, that we are to preach to those, to give to those that are in, that have found themselves alcoholics and drug abusers, and found themselves that just the things of the world has crashed in on them, and because of their own decisions or not or whatever the circumstances is that there is a hope. There is an invitation that you come, and I'm not going to leave this just to you to pull yourself by your own bootstraps. I'm not going to leave it to you to just pull yourself out of things that's too big for you, to fight your own giants, to accomplish your own things. You can't do that. The message is, come and yoke up. Come up and yoke it up with me, and now to where you can say, I can't get myself out of this. I've never been able to change the things about my own life. I've not been able to change my own insecurities. I can't change my own fears about things. I can't change the dispositions that I have. I can't keep myself from being angry when things happen, and I get frustrated. I can't help myself. Well, the Lord's saying, I'm not saying that you can, but yoke up with me. Come and get in my yoke. My yoke's not hard. My yoke's easy. I'll be in there to pull part of the load with you. God can pull all the load, folks, for you, but he won't pull all of your yoke for you. He's going to allow you to pull some of your yoke yourself. He's going to be there to help. He didn't promise that it was going to be smooth sailing, but he promised he'd go through the storms with us. He promised that he would be there to lean on. He promised that if we would serve him and live for him, that there wouldn't be a temptation taking us that would overcome us. There wouldn't be something that was too big for us. So the Lord invites us to come to him, and he invites us into the yoke and to take him up. And basically, and this is my message today, the Lord wants us to be in a team with him. He wants to team up with us. He wants to make a difference in our lives. He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to face the challenges that we have, knowing that he's right there beside us. There's nothing too big. If you can literalize this, I hope you can visualize this morning. What would you be afraid to do if the Lord Jesus was in the yoke beside you? If the Lord was saying, here is the way, this is what we've got to pull, and he's here with it, and you're saying, Lord, I'm so tired. I don't feel like I can hardly take another step, but the Lord's there saying, come on, you just ease up a little bit. I got you on this one. What would be in a natural sense if you had it and you got the Lord right there? Well, I mean, the Lord's right there, the one that healed the blind man is right there. You think he can help you to understand? The one that healed the blind man is right there beside you. The one that gave strength to the lame man is right there. You say, well, I don't feel like I can go any further. The one that created the universe is right there in the yoke with you. The one that is able to do that. You know what? The Lord did not say, I'm going to make you, I'm going to strap you down, I'm going to tie you up, and I'm going to tie you in, I'm going to slap this yoke. I'm going to tell you something about the yoke of the Lord. It is a voluntary yoke. You put it on voluntary, and you can take it off voluntary. This isn't stuck on you, tied on you. It isn't strapped on with locks. You can put it on. You can take it off. The Lord just simply offers the yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But I'm pulling along with you. I want to team up with you in the places of your life. Lord, help us if we get to visualize and keep in our minds that the battles that I face in my life and what I face tomorrow, the Lord is there beside me. How much difference would it make? I don't want no pity party. When I talk about it, it ain't saying I'll pull my money. But I've had people that just flat just start cussing me out. I've had some of the, with I'm talking about people and the people. I remember one time I thought there was more than enough room. It was one of these road rage things. And I was pulling out, and I had to pull across lanes and go back the other direction, not just go the lane I was on. It was a four lane coming into a traffic lights. And I did kind of shoot across, and I saw vehicles coming on down, but I thought there was more than enough room, and there was more than enough room. I got out and got shifted into the lane I wanted into, and here comes this guy screaming up through there. And started making these ugly gestures that people will make, and he's screaming, and the guy had some girls in the car with him. I suppose that probably boosted the thing up. He was probably wanting to show these girls he was alpha, and anyway, pulls up there, and I had to stop. I'm like, oh, I hope this is a green light. It was a red light, and he pulls up there, and I'm like, oh, no, what's this character going to do now? Those things, I had somebody just cuss me out for fishing a couple years ago. Just plain, just cuss. I mean, just cuss me out just for fishing. I went down Cass on a rainy Saturday morning early just because I just wandered away. And to be honest with you, I'm just going to be honest. I didn't want to talk to you. I didn't want to talk to my fam. I won't talk to nobody. I just wanted to go and just do something where I could just put my mind. And I went down there and run into a guy that just stood there on the bank of the river and cussed me until I got down the river and got in my truck, and he was still cussing me as I drove off. And I don't even understand why these things happen altogether, but I'm going to tell you what makes a difference to me. That they did the Lord that way. And the Lord is saying to me, all your life coming. And I can, nobody else can do this, folks. Nobody else can do this except for the Lord when somebody means something for bad. He's the only one that can make something good out of that. And he can do that. He can make something good out of something that is bad. And sometimes it's something in here I don't even understand and recognize. And when I get to like that place and what's this all about, then the Lord, he don't try to change that guy on the river. He wants to save him. It's not about that. It's about the idea of David saying, leave him alone. Maybe God said, curse David. Maybe David needs something in his life. Maybe David needs a stir of his life. So maybe sometimes I need it. You know, God's the only one that can do that. And the only way that we can get the benefit out of this is to be yoked up with the Lord. When we're yoked up with the Lord and the Lord's a part of what we think about, there's no need for me to try to take vengeance on somebody or have bitterness in my heart that I hope he slips and falls in the water. I hope his truck don't start when he goes again. You know, all kinds of these thoughts. Surely karma's going to catch up with him somewhere. We're always wanting karma to cake up with us and do those kind of things. And I want to tell you, that's not what it's all about. You know, really, the Lord's working in our own lives if we let him. The Lord just wants to work in our lives. And one scripture in Psalms, the 124th Psalm. Folks, the invitation was come unto me, all ye. If you don't come, you don't get there. The invitation is come. I've got a yoke for you. You come, we'll yoke up. This passage, Psalms 124, it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, it was the Lord that was on our side. We have a song, it might be in the Red Book, but I don't know the song very well, but it is tell me, what would I do? If it wasn't for the Lord, tell me, what would I do? Oh, tell me, what would I do? If it wasn't for the Lord, what would we do? Where would we go? This scripture here reminded me of, over the years, we've done it here many, many times. We used to do it when I was growing up. But we'd get ready to play a ball game. And so you'd pick captains. Usually, you know how it works around here. You have to almost draft somebody to be a captain. But once you get the captains, then here's the idea. And I've never almost always seen this work this way. I wouldn't say there would be anything wrong with doing it different than this. Like, for instance, could you imagine the captains starting off wanting the worst players? Right? You know, you usually have these guys, usually teenage boys, you know, that's been athletic and that kind of stuff. You go down, you usually get down to the little ones, and forgive me for saying so, some of the girls. You're talking about talented, you know, you're talking about here. And in the game, it's almost always, you know, you start the very bat. I'm sorry, but if you're down the list, it's just true. They start and they pick the biggest, best, most athletic one. Why? Why is it normally the captain is going to pick the best? Now I've seen this happen to where it isn't always the best one. I've seen this happen where if you get the wrong captain, the captain will automatically look to this girl that he's interested in. His girl to be or whatever, or maybe his wife or something. She may be a terrible ball player, but he'll pick her first. And I think there's some wisdom and understanding in that. But my point is that the idea is you pick the best player because you want him on your team. You want somebody that can catch the ball, hit the ball. You want somebody that can run. And the reason you do it is because I don't know why humans are this way, but it is the way it is most generally. Not that it's overly important, but when it comes down to the end of it and when the last out of the game's made, you want to have more score than the other team. That's just all. You want to win. And if you want to win, you're going to pick the best players. And I've seen it happen all the other times. And it's almost impossible for me not to get down at the end of that and feel a little twinge of feelings about the ones that got picked last, because usually the ones that picked last usually needs to have an understanding that they ain't very good at playing ball. It doesn't mean that they're not valuable. It just means that in this particular thing, they can't play ball very well. And I worry sometimes that it's humiliating, but it's the way we do it. The scripture says, what would we have done? Israel, what would we have done if we didn't have the Lord on our side? And I want to ask us today the question, because the scripture says, come unto me. Come unto me. This isn't you being chosen out of something. This is us choosing what's the best. You want to win? You want to win? There's only one way to win this thing at the end. And it's to have the Lord Jesus with you. There's nothing else that can win this thing for us. We look at all the things that's going on in life. What stabilizes our life? What keeps me from dragging when I'm trying to pull? What keeps me from pulling too fast when I'm trying to just run with it? And all those things is the Lord in the other side of the yoke. The thing that keeps me from running the whole road behind me, the thing that keeps me from the damage and everything, is the Lord that's in the yoke beside us. And he said, "What would if it wasn't for the Lord? Tell me, what would we have done?" The illustrations come from this because I want us to understand this. This is a very valuable thing to add the Lord in our lives, because when we are yoked up with the Lord and we confidently, by faith, can say, I know I'm the Lord's and He's mine and I'm living for the Lord here. And no matter what happens, the Lord's in this. You know, that's a very important testimony for you and I to have. You know, the testimonies of all and everything don't make much difference. I'll say this in all of it. If I was in, I'm not there, I feel for the people, but if I was in a situation like the people in Ukraine, I'd want the Lord on my side. I'd want the Lord in my life with all of these things, because He'll make a great difference in our lives. This actual passage of Scripture, as I understand it, could have possibly came from a song. I believe it was of David, a song of the degree of David, writing about the story in Esther. About how, if you remember the story of Esther, the Jews wasn't in leadership and control. You know, we don't have to be. Lord help us. That's the way we always think the answer to our problems is to get somebody up there into the leadership that ascends up into the leadership. Well, God knows how to put people in where He wants them at. But the story of Esther, if you remember, there was an evil man that was coming against Mordecai who had a problem. Evil Haman, he had a problem. You remember the story. God had worked it out until Esther. God knows the future. God had worked out till Esther, He put Esther in this situation. I want to tell you, it's good to have the Lord on your side. It's up to us to choose whether we want the Lord on our side or not, but the Lord on our side makes all the difference, because the leadership didn't seem like that it cared. They wouldn't matter. Haman was in the leadership. It looked impossible. What would you do? This man is up second to the king. What are you going to do against Haman? God had a plan in all of this. And this is the idea of the song here is what would we have done if God hadn't worked for us? There was a decree made that the Jews was to be killed. They were going to get rid of the Jews. Haman had done it to get a Mordecai. They was going to be able to kill the Jews off. And so this was made a decree, and that's why Esther went. At the time this decree was supposed to take her, Esther ends up going before the king, if you remember, and brought it to the king. The king couldn't change his decree, because what's a decree if he can change it just a whim? He couldn't change his decree. Remember how it all happened, but you remember how God worked in the whole affair and started working in it, and now Haman thinks that he's doing all of this stuff, and behind it, God is working, and how perfect the timing is. You know how God's perfect? Oh, God's perfect. God is perfect. Haman thinks that he's right on top. He's about to get everything accomplished, and right at the time when everything, you remember how it all happened, and Esther ends up going to the king and said, this evil Haman is wanting to kill me, and what you talking about? And has the king's mind all stirring up, and so the king goes out, and Haman comes and begging Esther and accidentally falls on her or something like that, and the king walks in and said, what are you doing here like this? And all I didn't mean, and the whole, God's changing the whole thing. If it wasn't for the Lord, what would we do? You know, God's able to change those circumstances in our lives too. And he can change those things, and it looks like, what can we, there's nothing we can do. God can work in these things and change them. And now Haman's in trouble with the king, and the king's looking at him, and lo and behold, a man steps in and says, the gallows is finished. Timing? What gallows? The king said, the gallows that we made to hang Mordecai on. Perfect timing for the king to say, yeah, take Haman and hang him on it. He had it built. Go have him. You know, that was all put in the scriptures for us to understand the absolute perfect timings of God. God's ability to change the circumstances around. God can change all those things. And I'm a real believer, just to say it, I've seen this happen and mentioned it here many times. But I've seen these times happen where something would happen with this congregation. Something would be a phone call, or something would happen, and it would be so bad. It just looked like, oh, that seems so bad. And I've seen prayer change that. I've seen the Lord change those things till no human eye could have seen the change. But I know prayer did it. I know prayer did it. The one I like to mention, because it was so vivid on me, was when Philip's boy, Gavin, got the strap. Remember, he got the strap on his leg, and that just sounded so bad. That strap caught under the wheels out through the car and jerked through the door and pulled his ankle and popped it. And our original thing when he got down there was to saying how crushed and how bad that was. And I remember going to prayer when they called for prayer, and I remember the report and said, look, God, reports don't mean nothing to you. Lord, this looks so bad. They're going to have to go through this and this and this. Lord, change that. You can make it not so bad. You can change it. I've seen you do it. I literally prayed, Lord, I've seen you change these things until the next report won't be that. And you know what? The next report I had, they said it wasn't near what they thought it was, and don't know how it wasn't, but they did. It was changed. And I said, thank God. God can change it. No human eye saw it, but I thank God he's on our side. I thank God he's in the yoke, that we can go and he can make a difference to our lives. It isn't just what it says. I appreciate Sister Laura's expounding for prayer, and what prayer means is, because I want to tell you what. I sat there, I'll just give you my heart. I sat there, and I don't call you new, Sister Laura, but you've not been around as long as some of us. And after you've been in the battle sometimes, some of those things become calloused and harder from years and years and years and years and years. And sometimes it takes somebody new, fresh, refreshing it up, saying, I know that's right. I know that's right. But the time has done that, and you're right. God in the yoke can change those things. It doesn't have to be that way. God can make it different and different and different. I remember years ago, Brother Stanley Huss was here, and they had went walking somewhere and met somebody, and I forget who it was, but it's somebody I talk to all the time, and they had just come down from Pennsylvania, so they just met him and invited him to the church and had a good conversation with him, and I thought it took somebody from Pennsylvania, because I am so used to it. I am so caught into this and so in this, and it reflected back to my mind some 5 years, 10 years before that I was up in Duncan and I was walking the roads up there inviting people to come to the church, to the ones that they drove by every day. I want us to remember that God in that can make the difference, yoked up with it. I pick as captain of my team, I want the Lord in the harness beside me. Because we can, the truth is that we can yoke up with a lot of things. We can yoke up with a lot of things that get us through the day. We might yoke up with our musics to help us through. We can yoke up with the philosophies. We can yoke up with something in the day. We can yoke up with other people and all that. But the Lord's the only one that can really make the difference. And just like he did in the story of Haman, he changed impossible to the human mind. What could possibly change this? They made a decree that they're going to kill him, that the Jews was to be killed. At the end of it, the king's couldn't change the decree, but he could say, arm them. If you're going to kill them, they're going to fight back. None of them died because it was the same as it always is now. And God done something that nobody else thought of or could do, and he changed that. I want us to realize that our responsibility isn't trying to go out and change everything. Our responsibility is to yoke up with the one that can. Our responsibility is to get other people. It's not my responsibility to try to go and change everybody. It's my responsibility to get them to the one that can change them. That's the responsibility. This was probably, as seems to be, probably was a reflection on the story of Esther. But there's a lot of stories that it could have been, because there was things that fit it so much. I think Daniel could have sung this song joyfully and raised his hands about the time that he had got into his battles and he could have said, who could possibly change this situation? There's a decree that challenges me and my religion. I've always believed this. I've done this. I've been faithful. And now there's a decree that forces me to choose between the government, the king that I'm supposed to honor and do this, and again, it's the God that I serve. God wins. I'm going to go ahead and pray just like I always did. He goes and swings these doors open, but praying to do it just the way he always did. He's going to still do it, knowing that he's in violation, knowing that he's putting his faith to the test, knowing that he could die. If God didn't do something, he could die for this. This is not one of our moments to where it's just an insignificant moment. This is a big moment now. I'm going to lay my life on the line for the Lord. He lays his life on the line, and all of a sudden they come. They was trying to catch him. They caught him. Did you not make a decree that no man was to make a petition before God and man other than the king? This sure Daniel broke your decree. So disrespectful of Daniel to do such things. You know how language is. But all those kind of things. Well, whoever will do it will be thrown into the lion's den. Who can stop the mouths of lions? There is things and times that it looks like that we should be completely devoured. And God won't let it happen. Because he said, this is my image, folks, okay? So, I mean, my image. I envision, you always think you take Daniel, and he was passive. Daniel wasn't kicking and squirming. I think Daniel went with them. I don't think he had his heels dug in. I think he accepted what he had laid. And I think they come in or they throwed him in. But I think if you get a spiritual vision, when they come and throwed him in, there was a yoke on him with another yoke. And there was somebody else in the other yoke. And when they threw him in there, there was somebody else in the other yoke that could tell the lions to behave themselves. Because Daniel couldn't do it. Daniel was no lion tamer. He didn't have no billies, nothing other than that. He just served the God that was able to do it. He threw it down there. You know, there's depictions I've seen, even Daniel kind of laid back on a lion, laying there asleep, him using it for a pillow. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything like that, but it did say it threw him down into the lions, and the next day he was unharmed. Because God was with him. Folks, we need God with us. He needs to be on our team. And I know that we do express politics sometimes. I don't mean to be political in any way. It's not conducive to this at all. As a matter of fact, it may be the opposite of that in talking about that kind of thing. But I want to tell you, a mantra that I have, that I express to the world, I do it a little different to friends and family sometimes, but I'm going to say what I say to the world when they say that. My vote is 100% for Jesus. I am a 100% voter for Jesus. That's the answer to the problems. The rest of this political stuff is political stuff, but Jesus is the answer for eternity. That's the answer. So I could say Daniel could raise his hand when this song was sung. If he'd have been, raised his hand and said, if it wasn't for the Lord, what would have happened to me if it hadn't been for the Lord? There was another time that you remember the story of Daniel where the king has a dream. And I think he forgot the dream, didn't he, Brother Man? So he not only forgot, he didn't know what the dream meant, but he forgot what the dream was. And so he goes to the wise men and soothsayers and astrologers and the man that was supposed to have done those things and said, I need you to interpret a dream. And they said, gladly, just tell us what it is. And he said, I don't remember. But since that's your job, I want you to tell me what the dream was and interpret it. And they said, well, how could we do that? We don't know the dream. Well, then you're frauds, he said. You're a bunch of frauds, and you're going to put them all to death. But it got to Daniel, so Daniel goes to the king and says, and he wanted the same thing from Daniel, and Daniel said, I don't know who can know a man's dreams? But I know, paraphrasing, I'm yoked up with the one that knows the dream. So you give me a little bit of time, I'll ask him what the dream was. So Daniel went and prayed and got the dream and the interpretation thereof, and he could have raised his hand and said, oh, what would I have done if it hadn't have been for the Lord? If it hadn't been for the Lord that spared me in these times, that got into I'm into this bind, into this place. And you know, the Lord's able to do that over and over and over again in our lives. I just want to encourage us to fulfill the scripture. It's not just, you say, just to some old sinner out there. It's to all of us. Come unto me. Yoke up. Yoke up for the things of your life. The more you put God in your life, the more successful that it's going to be. Well, there's others. There's others, just in closing. There's others, many others. But there's others. The three Hebrew children run up against the same thing. It was against God or the king. There again, the king's demanding. Hard man hardly cares for them that much. Makes it essential. You're going to bow. We're not going to bow. You're going to bow. You're going to die. We're going to bow. But you know that those three Hebrew children, they said, we're not careful and answering in this, O king. We're not bowing. We're not bowing. God can deliver us, but we're not bowing. Well, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Been many a fiery furnace since that time. Not just the flames of a natural fire, but there's been fires that burn. There's things that can burn you up, and there's things that can destroy you inside. There's emotional burns, and there's all kinds of things that can happen in your life. Things that's just too big for us to do. The Lord's inviting us to yoke up, and you'll be able to plow through. I'll plow through with you. I'll be right there on your side. Well, they got thrown into the fiery furnace, but guess who they had yoked up with? The king looks up and says, will we not tie three men bound and tied and throw them in there? I see four in there. I don't know what he looked like altogether, but the king had enough knowledge to understand he looks like the Son of God. There's something special going on down there. And the one that could keep the fire from burning them walked in the fire with them. That didn't just come when they was thrown in there, folks. They chose to yoke up. They chose to keep God as a part of their life. That's what come unto me meant to them. They had lived this way. We're going to keep God in the middle of this. I have no idea to try to predict anything for the future, but I know this, even if it goes on the way it is, every one of us is going to face things in our lives because everybody before us did. I look and say that the end of my life, in many ways in a physical body, I followed my daddy just right down the line, and I've seen Dad at the end of his life get bladder cancer, and I've seen him struggle with the diseases and the old age and all that kind of stuff. And the only thing I can say is that here I go too, Lord, but I want to be yoked up with you when it comes down to it, so that you can reach over and give me a pat, so you can give me some encouragement, so you can touch the pain, so you can help. I'm going to go down the same line. It's foreign now. It's halfway around the world or a quarter way around the world over in a place called Ukraine over in Europe. There's an awful thing going on. We're all sharing the news and filling the stories and doing all that kind of stuff. No guarantee that those kind of things can't happen here. And all kind of things can happen and crazy things can happen. And if none of that happens, disease or sicknesses or something's going to happen, we all are heavy burdened, labored, down, and every one of us. And the Lord made a promise to all of us, come unto me. Come unto me, yoke up with me, and I'll take you through the battles. I'll take you through the trials. There was different times. Remember when David almost surely could have sung this song over and over. What, if it wasn't for the Lord, what would I have done when I stood there before that giant? Lord, what would I have done when the lion come? If it wasn't for the Lord that I was yoked up with, what would I have done when Saul had me stuck in the cave? What would I have done in those difficult times if I hadn't had the Lord to bring me through it? There was a time where the Philistines come and took the stuff. They had left, and the Philistines come in, spoiled. They took their wife and children, took their stuff, and took off, got back to the camp, and the men were so upset they was going to stone David. And David obviously could have sung, oh, what would I have done? If it wasn't for the Lord, tell me, what would I do? Because at the end of it, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He yoked up with the Lord, and the Lord was able to turn the situation around. My encouragement today, and the little message today, is yoke up with the Lord, for he surely can pull the loads, any load, and he can help us through this life. You pray for me.